Good morning once again, brothers and sisters.
Morning.
As we continue to worship God in spirit and in truth. Today, I would like to talk about God's love. You know, as it says, God is love, as we read from the scripture there. We live in a world today of hate. We just have to put on the television and look around us and see the greed of mankind. There's people fighting, there's killing, there's all sorts of things going on. Show hate. We put up a little smoke and we get tariff. You see, the world is focused on greed and hate. Yet we as Christians know God is love. Nelson Mandela once says, he says, the human heart is made to love. It's come naturally. Love comes naturally to the human heart. We learn to hate. And if you think about it, remember when Jesus called out those, he says you have to be like little children to enter into the kingdom of God, because he was talking about the humbleness of babies, of children. You know, if two children play there, they don't notice their different colors. They don't notice everything. We learn that to hate. You know, and this comes across to me one time when I was younger, maybe about 12 years old. You know, we live in a country that's divided with hate, because we have the two major ethnic group, from one from India and one African. They make up the major group, and they're always fighting with this hate. The politician put it inside, and we grew up with that hate all around us, from our parents and from all sides. And the African government, they were in power at the time, and they put co-op in the villages, and the villages were all divided. One Indian village, African village, and that's how it is, and that's how it was, right? And he put co-op stores in each one of the African villages so that foodstuff was very scarce, so that you go there and you buy your foodstuff and you get, that's the way you get it, right? And one day my dad stopped me off in the line like 5 o'clock in the morning. I was 12 years old with my bag and my list. I don't know why he put me, because he wouldn't go there, right? Was maybe like 99% was African people there, right? I was the only one. But you know what? Nobody troubled me. Nobody tell me nothing. I was in that line. And I line up there, 8 o'clock. They opened the store, and I went in. And I see everybody getting their goods. And goods, what I say, basic thing. Little bit of cheese, little bit of oil, and the basic things that we take for granted, right? When I meet up, lady took my list and she's scratching. Said, no, we don't have this. I said, yes, people is getting there. No, that was the last. And they're laughing at me. You know, I was such a rage. I was crying, you know. I didn't get nothing, you know. I was crying and I walked out of that place. My heart was full of hate, you know, because I've experienced it. I felt it as a kid. And I walk out crying. I walk up to the bus stop. And an old African gentleman was in that stop, and he was watching, and he came out behind me, and he said, son, you're hungry? I said, yes. He went and he bought a juice and everything, and he gave me, he said, sit down. He said, give me your money and the bag and the list. He took it. I wasn't concentrating. I was concentrating on the food, because we normally don't get that. And I was eating, but after I finished eating, I says, oh my, I've got robbed. Now I don't have passage to go back. So I was walking, but I didn't want to leave because he told me wait there. I was waiting, I was watching maybe an hour and a half, 2 hour pass. And then he came back with his big bag with all the goods. He put it down, he put the change in my pocket, take out for the pay the bus. He waited with me there. The bus came, he put me in, he told the bus driver where to put me out. You know, in that way of hate, I found love. You know, I prayed for that man for a period of time. And then I realized he doesn't need my prayer, you know. He did something really good. Not for that spot to give me, but it changed my life forever. I look at things different. I never have no bias against nobody. You know, I know there's good in everybody. You know, never have that racist feelings in me. And even when I was in that, even up to today, that country is very divided upon race. People are very racist. But just not for me and my family. I was able to change that. He changed me. He showed me. Even among where there is hate, you can find love. And God says, the Bible says God is love. And we as Christians are to portray God in our life. He says, love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. You see? We must love one another. Love will carry us through this life. Love would make our burden lighter. You know? When I was in Guyana, and I drive anywhere, and I see a Church of Christ, and I stop and worship with them, there's so much love that will spill out. People who I've never known will invite me to their house. They want to share with me what little they have. That is love. That is how God's people must live. That is how it must flow from us, the love that we see. He says, whoever does not love does not know God. And he says, this is how God shows his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. In John 3:16, we see God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. If we look at it, we see God loved us. And he loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, into this earth to die for our sins. And he did it when? When we were still sinners, he did it for us. Right? When we were still sinners, God still loved us because he created us. He loved us. And when we get problem in this world, when we get trouble in this world, when we feel down and out, we must realize that how much God loves us, how much Jesus paid that price for us at that cross. He was spat upon. He was beaten. He was put with that crown of thorns upon his head, and he was nailed to that cross. And yet he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Right? He showed forgiveness. He was doing it for our sins, every one of us. And he was doing it yet when we were sinners. God loved us so much that he showed us that great mercy, that love for us, so that we may have eternity, that we may have that hope of going with him in heaven one day. This is love. That is pure love. That is unconditional love that God put out for us. Since God loved us so much, we have to love one another. And when we love one another, it shows that God lives in us. In John 14 and verse 15, it says, Jesus says this, he's talking, he says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. See? What is that? God loved us so much. He gave his Son for us. But if we love Jesus, if we love God, what we must do? We must keep his command. Amen. So when we go out in the world, when people see us, they may see God's love in us. How they may see that love? Because of our action. Because we are following Jesus' command. And when we follow Jesus' commandment, when we obey what he says, when we put our lives, mold our lives according to God's word, people out there will see the love of God. They will see God in us because God is love. The way we behave when we outside there, the way we talk, the way we carry ourselves is important. It's important to the work of the Lord. It's important for us to spread the word of God. If we are living a bad life, if we are showing no love, how can people want to join us and love God? You know? People look at everything we do. And Jesus put it here. It's not just loving God. It's not just something we say. Loving God is not just something we say. We love God. It's an action that we do. It's our life that we do. It's the way that we carry ourselves away from here. You know, it's the way we deal with each other. And when we do that, we do not work in vain. For we would be repaid with everlasting life. We would be with God one day. So if you're Christians today, if there is something in your life that is keeping you away from God, if there is something that is bothering you, if there is something that is taking away you from the love of God, now is the time for you to reflect upon yourself. Do not let eternity go from you. Do not let that separation come from God. Now is the time for you to write your life. Put your life together so that you're going to have that hope. If you're listening to this word today and you have not put on Jesus as a personal Savior, now is the time for you to reflect, to know where you're going to spend eternity, because death can come at any time. Not for the old alone. We do not know when that death will strike us. We do not know how much opportunity more we will have to put on Christ. Now is the time. Think about it. Think about where you want to spend eternity. Life on this earth is just a journey. How long would it be? Maybe 100 years? Maybe 60 years? It's all time given. It will all go away. We will all pass on. But if we have God in us, we know that we will have eternity with Jesus. We know that we will be with him one day. We do not know if we got an opportunity tomorrow. I know many people. One lady, she was in the church. Every time they have the service, she's there. But she says, the time is not right to put on Christ as yet. One day the space was empty. He is gone. You know, when you have that opportunity to put on Christ, you have to take it. I remember one time we were working in Guyana, we were doing some missionary work, and someone called us to pray for an old man, and we went up. It was terrible places. I didn't know, I was a Guyanese, but I was going with an American missionary, right? He's still in Guyana working, and I wouldn't go to those places because, you know, there's low end, very, very low end. And he would go comfortable and he would walk. But I went with him that day. I went a couple of days with him, but that day we were going up. And they called us to pray for this old man. He was in his 90s, I think. And we went up to him and we prayed with him and we started talking with him. And we realized he was living with his wife for maybe 30 years. He was not married officially or so on. And he was baptized long ago, but wasn't live up to, you know, the Christian life. So we start studying with him. And within a week or so, he says, he wants to get married, he get married. Then he says he wants to be baptized, he wants to put on Christ. And they had to lift him up and take him out and baptize him and so on. 2 weeks after he passed away. And his wife also followed, she baptized. And I went back there years after, and she was very much in the church, very much a Christian. You know, we do not know what time do we have. He was lucky. He was lucky. So if you're a Christian, if you are here today and listen to this message and haven't put on Christ, take the time. Now is the time. Talk to us. We can help you to put on Christ and to study. And if you are a Christian and you have fallen away for something is bothering you, now is the time to repent and put your life together and go there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3, it says, if I give all that I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. You see action here? If I give all that I possess, good deed, right? And I give my body to hardship, the gospel or what, so that I may boast, right? People do it so they could talk about it, so they do something good. But I do not have love, I have gained nothing. Right? You see how love is important in the Christian walk. Love is important because when we love God, we do things for God, not to boast about. Right? When we love God, it shows little things when we love God. Love spill over in everything we do, everything we have. So we have to be very careful. And in Corinthians also it says, verse 4 says, 1 Corinthians, says, love is patience, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails. We see, it describes a bit about what love is. Love is patience. As Christians, we ought to show patience. Love is kind. It's given for us. If we truly love God, we would be kind. Kind means we're good to people outside, not inside alone. You know, people notice these things. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. You see? It's humble. Love does not easily anger. And this one is, it does not keep a record of wrong. God does not keep a record of wrong that we have done, right? God does not remember or put the record that the things we have done once we are baptized and we put on Christ. Because he died for our sins to wash us white as snow again. So there is no record of our wrong, you know. We have that gift from God. God gave us that gift of Jesus. And at that cross, he washed us. There's no record of our wrong. So we see how much God loved us, how much he gave us. And it always protects, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails. God will never fail us. He would be with us in our darkest trial. He would be with us in our darkest problem on this earth. He will be with us. We have to hold to his hand. Sometimes problems come to our life and we think there's no hope. But we could talk to God. He will find a way for us. He will love us. We will have eternity with him. So we can see from this how much God loves us. How much he's given to us. So we as Christians, when we walk in this world, we must remember what God did for us. We must always remember, no matter how hard it is for us, look what Jesus went through to save us. Look how he was nailed upon that cross. Look that precious gift that God gave us. You know, not just words, Not that God just didn't say that he loved us alone. He proved it. He shown it by sending his son for us. So as Christians, we must rejoice. We must be happy. We must show our love. We must show that brightness because we have eternity. We have a place to go. We are part of the kingdom of God. We are walking with God. And when that journey ends on this earth, we know there is eternity for us. That will keep us happy. That will make us strive to be a stronger, stronger Christian. So once again, you have not put on Christ. Now is the time. And if something is bothering you, if something is keeping you away from that fullness of God and that eternity, now is the time to put it away. Now is the time to be joined back to God once again. Let us all pray. O most kind and ever-loving Heavenly Father, as we come before your mighty throne, thee God, to give thee praises, the honor, and the glory, we pray that you may continue to be with us and guide us and protect us, thee Father. We pray for each and every one bowing your presence, thee God. Those who are having problems and trouble for your name's sake, we pray that you may be with them, thee God. Those who are short of you, thee God, we pray that you may touch their heart, thee Father, that you may make them whole again, thee God, that they may continue in this journey. Father, we pray for those who have not put on your Son as their personal Savior. We pray for them at this moment that they may know that the time is now, thee God, so they too may have eternity. I'll be with you, thee God. Father, we pray for those who are sick, those who are spiritually weak. We pray for Christians throughout this world who are facing trouble for your name's sake, thee God. We pray that you may continue to be with them and guide them and protect us, Father. Help us, Father, that we, as we go out in this world, thee God, you may take your love with us, thee God, that people may see by our kindness and our word and want to join us and give you the praises, the honor, and the glory, and the thanks, thee Father. Continue to be with us, Father, for this is our prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.